Was there a lot of that sort of opinion or misunderstanding of the Russian immigrants?
Yeah, quite a lot.
Yeah.
Because that's the answer to that is the misunderstanding that led to it that the Russian Mennonites segregated, so to speak, from the others.
Mm-hmm.
And in many instances, in particular, I would even say by now it will be visible in the large communities like around Kitchener and Waterloo, in Winnipeg. We have such multimillionaires like the Weimars, Klassen.
Mm-hmm.
I was shown not many days ago a photograph in living color of the home of Mr. Klassen in Winnipeg, who has 7 Mercedes.
Klassen Construction,
yeah.
I guess.
And pumping or whatever it is. Or Mr. Reimer with those huge trucks that you see going here and then all the way through, you see. But this group of people, the Russian, that they have segregated, and I think the segregation you see there, and in many instances, I dare say, in the Mennonite life, when it comes around there, they are by now the leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Certainly.
Let me point out the other thing. Now this deals with religion. The intermarriage here, of course, is tremendous. In Russia, was a certain amount, but I'm a product of that, you see. But here it's unbelievable,
right?
Even here in Libya, all right. Since the Mennonites came here, they built the Oak Street Church. There is a Faith Mennonite Church, which is, I think, like a brother of the Oak Street, with the stressing on the mostly English language.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are the Brethren, which are, in fact, even in Russia, they were looked upon as you are not true Mennonites, you are Baptists.
Mm-hmm.
And the story behind the fact that they are called and are called as Mennonite Shubrinite Marian, it's not a very nice segment in Mennonite history.
How did that go?
The influence of the Baptists. Of the Baptists as such, whether American, German, whether British or whatever, is quite worldwide. And it also came into Russia. Now, mind you, by law, the Mennonite Church in Russia was one of the few churches which was permitted to function. There were not many. There were the the mighty, the mighty, what is the Greek Orthodox, a state church under complete bureaucratic control, civil servant control.
Was it really to the extent that you would have to pay a priest for his services, for example, for last rites or something like that?
Possibly, particularly in the smaller rites, certainly. But I can tell you that the priest had to break when necessary, when the police demanded the sanctity of confession. If somebody would commit a crime and goes to a church and confess to receive some succor or some relief,
mm-hmm.
The priest would break it, particularly when the police would come, you see.
Mm-hmm.
He may not go out of his way to break it, you see, but he certainly would when the police would come, because it was since Peter the Great, it was completely under the control of the
state,
of the government, you see. And since Peter the Great's day, there was no patriarch of all of Russia. Until after the revolution of 1917, that was the first patriarch since Peter the Great. Very few people know that here, you see. But the Russians have again entered that domain, you see. But going back to our Baptists, that goes back into the, I couldn't even get the dates or something, into the 19th century. they came down, probably some of the Mennonites who went abroad with study so forth and so on, and they brought that. The difference being, of course, that suddenly the Mennonites, who slowly became more broad-minded there, despite the fact that they were quite insular there, you see, and the Baptists. You had to go through the bathtub to become a Baptist. I hope I'm not insulting you. If you
No, not at all.
And that broke it, you see. And the, as I said, the Mennonites were the primitive religion, Lutherans, the Catholics, except the Jesuits, and the Catholics were not permitted in the monasteries. And the Mennonites, no Salvation Army, they were thrown out. They were the permitted churches. Now, the Russians, despite all their conservatism and whatever you please, they're no fools. Particularly when they, local authorities will alert the central seat, and it comes out now there is a new religious movement in being. And it is a Baptist movement, which are not permitted in Russia. And there was quite a to-do about it. With the result that there was a early immigration in the 18th century when they came to the...
In the 19th century.
Or the 19th century when they came, well, I think most of them settled in the West. Very, very stiff-necked lot, I understand, even their descendants are. And how it started, but they tried to save the ones who didn't want to leave their home. After all, believe it or not, the roots of Mennonites that I've spoken to the older generation of mine, and even older, are so decidedly Russian that it isn't funny. Now they arrived at the classical Russian solution. You started to travel to Moscow, first you go to Simferopol, and then you go to Moscow. You have 10,000, you have 100,000, if necessary, you have 500,000 rubles, which was nothing for the Mennonites to raise.
Really?
And Father was speaking of meeting some of the big bureaucrats, usually aristocrats besides that.
Was your father involved in the Brüdergemeine?
No, he was on the other side.
Uh-huh.
But he was on the administrative side of the community, in the where they had to do a lot of this traveling, and patching here, patching there, getting Mr. So-and-so out of trouble, and so forth and so on. Where he said they had quite a discussion on religious, on the Bible, quotations, where more or less, wise Mennonite gentlemen, but not particular schooling, theological, they came later on, we had good theological grades there as well, quoting the Bible, and half the men behind the desk quote the Bible in German back at him, because you know yourself that you can practically meet yourself coming and going when you begin quoting the Bible. So they weren't dealing with any fools, but the fact remained that the Russian church objected, and the Russian church was the ruling church. Now there was a new church coming into being, so the Mennonites somehow or the other, by rechristening this Baptist Gemeinde and calling them the Mennonitische.
So that was
to slide through, and it did.
And nevertheless, it was composed of all of Mennonites, or
well, they came. They were mostly mostly Mennonites there. Oh yes, they were. They had to be very, very careful not to try and touch any of the Russian communities, anything around there. though I'm quite sure that any of their missionary work will be stronger than still, I believe, our stronger missionary work.
Yes.
That they didn't stop.
Listen, can I go back a little bit and can I ask you, did you notice anything as a person who was not entirely a Mennonite? Was there a special relationship? Were you in a special category in the village among your peers?
No, or? Not really. Sometimes you have that, but let me tell you this.
But your father was still a practicing church member?
Yes, though I don't think I ever saw him in church.
Mm-hmm. But he was considered a part of the church.
Yes, well, he dealt with that, you see.
Mm-hmm.
He was
right.
With all the political side. I dare say that, generally speaking, if they tried to look down upon us, well, we just didn't notice it, and that certainly wouldn't permit it. But then,
right.
You see, I have, let me point out to you, in all fairness, that I had no relatives who were Mennonites.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Right.
I can and do understand when the Plataich is spoken, but I never could. But my father was, of course, absolutely true.
Mm-hmm. But I guess what I'm getting at is, what was the reaction of Mennonites to intermarriage with other people at that time?
Well, there were certain intermarriages, that is true. And the very often used to, so to speak, just throw up their heads, you see, that after all, I remember one thing, I was just a child, and well, not a child, but let's say a teenager, 14 or 15, the two gentlemen speaking were complaining about this, and something he mentioned about his son, that he was dissatisfied. Yes, he went out and got married. Now, who did he marry or something? He says, oh, she's a Luther. And the other gentleman looked at him and says, oh, and he said in German, und das noch. In other words, with all the trouble you have, when he said
that,
on
top of it.
Und das noch. And the other one just, you know, with his hand. Now, I'll give you the reaction of another one. Let's not name names. He is a very good friend mm-hmm. of mine, and he is one of the broadest minded Mennonites, deeply troubled with having sons and daughters born in Canada, growing up. One daughter is divorced, the son has is teaching at a university in the States, and all went through this stage of extreme liberalism, goes and adopts two Negro children.
Mm-hmm.
And they're lovely children. I've mm-hmm. seen them mm-hmm. all that, you see. But the father and the mother is quiet. She's very quiet and very charming. And the father realizes that it's something like a new wave, and he doesn't quite want to go with it, but it's not the old wave either, you see?
Mm-hmm.
Because
he's in between.
Yes, he went out west, and he worked for one of these Russian Mennonites of the 19th century,
mm-hmm.
and he hasn't got a good word to say about them at all.
Mm-hmm.
So this generation, and the second generation, they have the tough. And the third one will just walk away with
right.
it as it develops in a normal way.
Mm-hmm.
But when I came at home there, I pointed out to you, when I went to school, already in our school, the school was not 100% Mennonite, particularly in Realschule, very noticeable, because we have Russians, the most perfect German you ever listened to. And I remember being going to their homes and then coming to us, in particular to their home, their Russian home, because the parents came and the children were born and went to these say something and didn't want the Russian speaking Papa know what it was, we switched to the German, the father going up to me. My own son, I'm sending them to school. I still remember, he's throwing up his hands. I'm sending them to school. Here they are, speaking a language I don't understand. And there was no accent or nothing, you see. Mm-hmm. Now, this is the society that I was in as a youngster, you see. We had Jewish, there was a small Jewish community in my house, most of them first-class tailors.
Were they definitely separate from the social life in the
village? Yes, they were separate. But when it came to school, no. Mm-hmm. And when it came for us to chum with them, no.
Mm-hmm.
You see, so that somehow or the other didn't bother us anymore. And again, as I point out, I knew I had a Jewish friend. Now he, I'm ashamed to say, knew Plataj and his father.
No kidding.
And naturally German and Russian. And in the schools, as I say, we had them all, of course, compulsory was religion.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a Mennonite preacher. For the Russian, every week once or twice came the priest,